Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Thank you for the warm welcome, but please, not so loud. Donald was listening. Sleepy Don. I kind of like that. I may use that again.
Yeah, I'm not sure that Biden is built for the gear of making fun of people's names. It's kind of a unique talent to the former president, not him, obviously. At the White House press correspondents' dinner on Saturday.
It's been a year since I delivered this speech, and my wife Jill was with me tonight, was worried how I do. I told her, don't worry. Just like riding a bike. She said, that's what I'm worried about.
Good. That's fair enough. I actually wanted to know who wrote this speech, and I looked briefly. I didn't do a lot of investigation, but I couldn't find any answer to that question. Obviously not written by him. Clearly written by somebody with a fairly good capacity for, you know, all of the current events, all of the relevant things. You know, I would assume late night writers on some show contributed to this, but I don't know for sure. I don't know whether it was Colin Jost, Michael Che, whether it was late night writers for Seth Meyers or Stephen Colbert or all of the above collaborating together. I mean, who knows? But anyway,
the 2024 election is in full swing. And yes, age is an issue. I'm a grown man running against a six-year-old. Well, I feel great. I really feel great. I'm campaigning all over the country, Pennsylvania, Georgia, North Carolina. I've always done well in the original 13 colonies.
A lot of age jokes. Both, you know, I love when he cracks himself up. That makes me laugh. Because I assume he's run through these jokes, you know, to get the timing right on his own. I assume this is not his first pass at the teleprompter. Four more years. Pause. I'm guessing they learned their lesson. There were, I mean, very minor stumbles, I think, in the president's giving of the speech, right? And look, it's not really that hard to read a teleprompter for lines you've practiced, but he is, you know, kind of cracking himself up the most of all.
And speaking of history, did you hear what Donald just said about the major Civil War battle? Quote, Gettysburg, wow.
Yeah, that one's bad.
Trump's speech was so embarrassing, the statue of Robert E. Lee surrendered again.
I give it a six. But there were ones that were pretty pretty ferocious.
But look, age is the only thing we have in common. My vice president actually endorses me.
Oh, yeah. That's going to leave a mark.
I had a great stretch since the State of the Union. But Donald has had a few tough days lately. You might call it stormy weather. What the hell? Trump's so desperate he started reading those Bibles he's selling. Then he got to the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. That's when he put it down and said, this book's not for me.
See, that's the danger in writing comedy, the danger in writing satire is when it just becomes hate, you know, like that's not funny or it's not funny enough. You know, it's not funny enough to justify the line. But Trump wasn't the only target. OK, there were some other folks as well.
Look, being here is a reminder that folks think what's going on in Congress is political theater. That's not true. If Congress were theater, they'd have thrown out Lauren Boebert a long time ago.
That's a great joke. You remember she was in the theater with her date after she got divorced and they were, let's just say, engaged. But not engaged? That's a good joke. I mean, that's actually a pretty good joke.
To all my friends in the press and Fox News, Some of you complain that I don't take enough of your questions. No comment.
See, the problem with that one is it's good to joke about your flaws, right? It's good to joke about the things that you do wrong or get criticized. The problem is if the joke itself isn't that funny and all it does is remind people of how, well, you really suck at that. I'm not sure that it accomplishes anything for you.
Of course, the New York Times issued a statement blasting me for, quote, active and effectively avoiding independent journalists. Hey, if that's what it takes to get the New York Times to say I'm active and effective, I'm for it. It's okay.
And then some jokes that were about Saturday Night Live in particular because Colin Jost, of course, was the headliner.
And I know you're looking around and saying, this guy's been doing this for 50 years. He's had his moment. Give him someone else a chance. To say that, I say, Lauren, ignore the critics. Ignore the critics.
Lauren Green is, I didn't actually look up Lauren Green's age, but he's got to be the same age, if not older, than Biden is. I'm actually looking it up right now because I was kind of curious about that. He's 10 years younger at 72. Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough. Not Lauren Green. Not Lauren Michaels. I was thinking about Lauren Green. That's funny. A little too much TV for me. 79, so almost as old. My mistake. Anyway.
Lauren's a great friend who's had 8 comedians play me over the years on Saturday Night Live. 8. And who the hell says I'm not a real job creator? Look, Lauren's had even more comedians and actors joke about me, like the funny guy in Weekend Update, Michael Che. He's hilarious.
And he is the funnier one on Update, by the way.
Scarlett Johansson, you did such an incredible job in your State of the Union rebuttal that you should be Weekend Update. Clearly, you're the funny one in the family.
Yeah, he's kind of stumbling over that one. So, you know, it's obligatory. I actually think it would have been great to have Michael Che do the White House Correspondents' Dinner, but they didn't. They had Colin Jost. So what was interesting is then he got onto the whole subject. You know, there's always the joking and then there's the serious, right, when the president gives his speech. And, you know, he gets into the subject, as you would expect, of democracy, of journalism, of, you know, telling the truth and covering wars and putting yourself at risk and, you know, very much still criticizing Biden or still criticizing Trump in the process.
And so is what all of you do when you report truth over lies. That's why I want to close the night with my genuine thanks to the Free Press. There are some who call you the enemy of the people. That's wrong and it's dangerous. You literally risk your lives doing your job. You do.
Yeah, I actually agree. The constant attacks by Trump against the media are inappropriate, excessive, and often unjustified. But if media were doing a better job of being neutral, fair, and representing the half of the country that doesn't see the world their way, they wouldn't be as open to that criticism. So his treatment of them is wrong and undermines democracy. Their behavior is wrong and invites the treatment by Trump. So there's a both and to that one. But talking about, you know, the importance of journalism and getting people to be released from, for example, Russia, for example. But then talking in this, I thought there was a very interesting moment toward the end of his comments that is pretty telling, I think.
On the third anniversary of January 6th, I went to Valley Forge. And I said the most urgent question of our time is whether democracy is still the sacred cause of America. That is the question the American people must answer this year. And you, the Free Press, play a critical role in making sure the American people have the information they need to make an informed decision.
Now, that's true, even if they aren't the Free Press, but whatever. You know, minor verbal gaffes everybody makes, including Trump makes them.
A defeated former president has made no secret of his attack on our democracy. He said he wants to be a dictator on day one, and so much more. He tells supporters he is their revenge and retribution. When in God's name have you heard of another president say something like that? And he promised a bloodbath when he loses again. We have to take this seriously.
That is a really butchering of his actual quote. And See, this is the problem is, I know Colin Jost in his comments toward the end, he wants to say that Biden is a decent man, and he does good things, and he's honorable and all that. And I wish I could take that seriously, because if that were true, then he wouldn't ever engage in the lies and the exaggeration that he does engage in about what President Trump has actually said. Listen, there's plenty of material to criticize Trump for. Plenty. I do it myself. It's when you exaggerate and lie about that material that you make yourself open to the criticism of being unreliable, of losing the credit that you would otherwise gain. And that's the problem. One of the problems that I see with Biden is he doesn't say the truth when it comes to Trump. He exaggerates or cherry picks or mashes together things that aren't accurate. And when you start doing that, you forfeit the moral high ground. You know, even if the other guy does it too, it doesn't matter. If you're both doing it, neither one of you can claim that you're better off than the other one. That's the problem. But there was, like I said, there was a moment right toward the end of his comments that, to me, anyway, this was the most, probably most important comment of, there was one by Colin Jost that was actually very telling, inadvertently. But this was the one by Biden that I thought was the most interesting.
8 years ago, you could have written off it as just Trump talk. But no longer, not after January 6th. I'm sincerely not asking of you to take sides, but asking you to rise up to the seriousness of the moment. Move past the horse race numbers and the gotcha moments and the distractions, the sideshows that have come to dominate and sensationalize our politics. And focus on what's actually at stake. And I think in your hearts you know it was at stake. The stakes couldn't be higher. Every single one of us has a role to play, a serious role to play. Making sure democracy endures, American democracy. I have my role, but with all due respect, so do you. In the age of disinformation, credible information that people can trust is more important than ever. And that makes you, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, makes you more important than ever.
And it's nothing like telling your audience that they're the most important people in the room, which in and of itself I don't really mind, because it's true that what journalists do really does matter. I mean, if I didn't believe that, why would I do what I do? I mean, you know, kind of self-contradictory. But there was a moment right in the middle. Did you catch what he said?
Move past the horse race numbers and the gotcha moments and the distractions, the sideshows.
Move past the horse race numbers and the gotcha moments. Now, I agree with him. I don't think that polling is a story. I think that polling is the wrong thing to report on, and I get sick of hearing reports about polling. Heck, top of the hour Fox News is talking about how Trump is ahead by so many points, especially when you include third-party candidates. First of all, that doesn't matter because we don't elect a president by national popular vote. We elect a president by whether you win the Electoral College, and therefore the swing states are the only polls that really matter. It does not matter who gets ahead by 7 or 8 or 9 or 10. It does not matter. What matters is who's ahead in the key swing states, you know, Arizona and Georgia and Michigan and Wisconsin, right? You know, that's what matters. And that's harder polling data to gather. And to their credit, some people report on that. But I also agree that you should not be reporting on the horse race, on those polling numbers, because report on the issues, report on what people say, and then let them decide, not based on what they think everybody else thinks. That's one of the key problems in our reporting about politics. But the other one is the gotcha moments. Again, I agree with him to a degree. We ought to report on the substance of what people stand for instead of their verbal gaffes or the fact that they can't walk up a flight of stairs safely and are now actually tasking staffers to walk alongside the president to go out to Marine One so that he can't be seen to be walking like a very, very old man. I kid you not, that's actually happening. But did you catch the embedded premise there is, would you please stop reporting on the parts of this race that make me look so bad? Because the parts of this race that make him look the worst are the polling numbers and the gotcha moments, because he makes a lot of gaffes. Now, they could report on the substance, which also make him look bad, but he's trying to tell them, don't take sides, but don't talk about the stuff that makes me look the worst. Very convenient to play both sides of that position. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
Yes. sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZQL.
ZQL, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZQL Nights. Explore our products at ZQL.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. New South Window knows how unpredictable coastal weather can be. And that's why our windows and doors are designed to take on severe hurricanes and the most intense heat. They're built and installed by us, meaning better value and a lifetime guarantee for you. Give your family security that lasts a lifetime. And get New South proud.
For a limited time only, save 35% on New South Windows products and installation.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
Good morning, 526 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, reports out of the Middle East say there could be a deal in place for Hamas to free the remaining hostages that have been held captive since the October 7th attacks in Israel. Paris-based news agency AFP is citing a Hamas official that spoke anonymously. That official said Hamas has no major issues with a recent proposal from Israel and Gaza. Negotiators from Egypt and Qatar will be meeting today with Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Cairo. After a short hospital stay over the weekend, Harvey Weinstein was sent back to prison on Sunday. The 72-year-old former Hollywood producer's 2020 rape conviction was overturned by the New York Court of Appeals last Thursday. And apparently the record for attendance at the NFL draft was shattered in Detroit here during this last NFL draft. 775,000 fans attended the NFL draft.
What?
It sounds like a lot
to me. That number cannot be right. Three-quarters of a million people were at the draft?
At the draft.
Where? I mean, in Detroit, that's the city. I mean, like, that's the, anyway, I'm from there originally.
And I'm assuming it's a multi-day thing, so it's probably,
totaled up over the
all the days added together or something like that. But that's still,
O'Reilly's,
that's a ton.
Down 3 miles away, we had 58 people. And I mean, I guess I don't really know. I was not there. So fair enough, David. Thanks so much for the update. 528 on News Radio 92.3. A couple of events coming up. Pensacola Navy Day is the 17th, 18th, and 19th of May. It's kind of like Fleet Week, just without the ships. Celebrating the Navy. There's going to be a gallery night theme, a night at the museum gala. There's a run walk. I won't be in that. Never in those. There's a big parade. There's all kinds of stuff. Community Maritime Park. There's a Blues on the Bay concert. So that's, again, coming up May 17th, 18th, and 19th. Bands on the Beach tomorrow night. The band is going to be True Blue Bands. You can check that out, 7 o'clock at the pavilion by the beach ball at Casino Beach. The United Way of West Florida is going to be having its May 4th gala. That is the Glitz and Gallop is what it's being called. Gala tickets are $100. 2 drink tickets and 10 betting tickets are included in that. You can get more information at catcountry987.com and Dixon Dub 2024, same day, Pensacola Beach Hilton, again May 4th, Star Wars Day. If you want more information about that or to sponsor a table, go to newsradio923.com. Interesting note, locally we've got a $5,000 bonus being offered for EMS hires by Escambia County. They put that note out on Friday. Also, the Escambia Citizens Watch, a very, very useful local Facebook page that covers politics and everything else, they say is often critical often very critical of the administration. And they say that about 100, what's the number, 147, I think? Let me just make sure I get this right because I don't want to misquote the data. Let's see, page 15 of my show prep of 93 pages. I'm not kidding. Anyway, yeah, 127 voluntary resignations in the last 3 years from EMS, going back to July of 21 through March of 24 this year, which is a lot. That's inclusively, that's roughly the entire staff. So, I mean, it's not that every person has changed, but some positions have changed more than once. So there's a lot of turnover in EMS. There have been a lot of problems in EMS going back. You know, some of the folk, that, obviously the job that they're doing is tremendously important, and a lot of friction with the administration and the union, of course, recently there too.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pappas. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken in the capital of Saudi Arabia at this hour, crediting Israel for a measurable progress in the humanitarian situation in Gaza, but wants that nation to do more, calling for a ceasefire to lessen the crisis. Overnight, Israel launching airstrikes on Rafah. Pro-Palestinian protesters remain in place this morning at George Washington University. That's less than a mile from the White House. No court today for Donald Trump at his criminal trial. A third prosecution witness, banking executive Gary Farrow, returns to the stand on Tuesday. And warm across the Plain States.
One of the main ingredients that we need for some of those severe storms is the warm, humid air mass, and we've got that in place. We're going to feel even warm temperatures up towards D.C. and New York, feeling more like June.
Fox Weather Senior Meteorologist Janice Dean. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3 right now. It is partly cloudy and 70 degrees in Pensacola. An investigation underway after three people died after a shooting on West Jackson Street Sunday morning. It happened at West Jackson Square. That's at Jackson and 65th Avenue. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says there was an adult birthday party going on in that area. The three victims were in a vehicle and appeared to be the victims of a targeted ambush while they were sitting in that vehicle. The deputies say the shell casings from both a rifle and a handgun were recovered at the scene of this incident. Two of the victims died there at the scene and the third taken to a hospital. Right now, there's no word on any suspects in this case. A man's okay after being stranded in a remote area of the Blackwater River when his canoe overturned and sank on Saturday. Okaloosa County deputies and firefighters from the Munson Fire Department searched for more than a mile of the river before they found that man. Luckily, he was not hurt. Three Union County teenagers arrested after deputies spotted a stolen vehicle on I-10 in Santa Rosa County over the weekend. Those teenagers reportedly led deputies on a high-speed chase along I-10, then crashed into the tree line as they attempted to exit the interstate. The stolen vehicle and a firearm were recovered. The Florida Highway Patrol has not yet identified the teenagers. They say they were 14 and 15 years old. There's also no word on what charges those teens could potentially face. And anybody who ever enlists in the military remembers taking their oath of enlistment. But one Tate High School grad took his in an especially memorable way on stage at the NFL draft. 19-year-old Ethan Harper graduated from Tate in 2023. On Saturday, he took the oath of enlistment for the Navy at the NFL draft in Detroit on stage. The oath of enlistment, a promise to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. Senator Rick Scott criticizing what he's calling a disgusting choice by the International Criminal Court. Scott tweeting yesterday about a New York Times report that said the ICC is preparing arrest warrants for Israeli and Hamas leaders for the war in Gaza. It is 5:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
we are going to be seeing a nice warm start to the day. Temperature is going to be humid as we head into the afternoon. Small chance of rain as we go into the evening hours. High today near 78 degrees. Lows tonight near 68 degrees. As you go Monday night through Tuesday morning, we'll have about a 40% chance of showers. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies. Tuesday afternoon, temperatures warming up near 81 degrees. Any rain we see on Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon comes to an end by the evening with a low near 64. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 70 in Pensacola, 71 in Gulf Breeze, and 62 reported in Milton. Our next news at 6. And breaking news anytime, I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Tesla has announced that local Chinese authorities have removed restrictions on its cars after the company's China-made vehicles passed the country's data security requirements. The breakthrough came as Tesla CEO Elon Musk arrived in Beijing amid the first major auto show in the city in 4 years. Musk's visit to China also raised expectations that Tesla's driver assist software Full Self-Driving would soon be available in the country. Major shipping firms have completed successful tests of autonomous vessels. One of the successful attempts took place with the ship called AutoShip, who completed a 13-hour voyage last year. Marcus Lorinen, a growth and solutions director at Kongsberg Maritime, said that autonomous shipping as well as remote operating centers are possible, but there are external factors at play that will influence the acceptance of the tech. This includes gaining customers' trust and securing regulatory clearance. Futures are slightly higher. That's your money now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Join the thousands of recyclers who strive to eliminate recycling contamination every day by following the Core Four. The Core Four includes glass containers, plastics one and two, cardboard and mixed paper, and metal cans. Remember, if you're not sure if an item can be recycled, think, when in doubt, throw it out and put it in your garbage can instead of recycling. Visit ecua.fl.gov for more information. That's ecua.fl.gov. And thank you for being ECUA's recycling partner.
Naval Air Station Pensacola has a significant economic impact in our area. It employs more than 16,000 military and 7,400 civilian personnel and the headquarters for Naval Education Training Command, a command which combines direction and control of all Navy education and training. There's a lot more you can know by tuning in this morning at 9 and hear what's happening at NAS Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
There are over 15,445 radio stations in America. But out of all those stations, a panel of judges representing the broadcast industry, community service organizations, and public relations firms chose the top 10, including News Radio Pensacola, to receive the 2024 National Association of Broadcasters Crystal Award for exceptional year-round community service. Thanks to you, our listeners. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 539 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Monday. On Friday, we had a chance to talk to Lakeview President Sean Salamita about the new comprehensive intake facility that they just opened last week. Big development here in Pensacola. At least I think it's big news, certainly based on the background and how much we've talked about Baker Act and the limited facilities that we have for people who need mental health crisis counseling of any kind. Sean Salamita, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you. I got your name right, right? It's like we need the nuclear vessels in Alameda. Salamita, is the right way to say it?
Yeah, that's correct. Salamita, you got it. Well done.
Very good. So let's start with this. Just for people who don't know, maybe give folks the like 30-second, 60-second, like what is Lakeview Center? Because, you know, we kind of presume everybody knows these things, but maybe they don't.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Lakeview Center is a community mental health center in our area. We operate behavioral health programming for children and adults with mental health or addiction treatment needs. We serve Escambia, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, and Walton County. So we're pretty large. We serve anywhere from 25 to 27,000 individuals every year. So so broad range of programs for the community to kind of meet behavioral health needs for folks that need us.
25 to 27,000 a year. That's wow. I mean, I know it's a multi-county area, but wow. That's just, I mean,
we're one of the largest community mental health centers in the state. We have a really broad range of programs, and because we serve just about every population have a broad range of programs, yeah, we're able to reach a lot of people. But there's a lot of need out there too. That's why we're here.
Well, that's the part that kind of surprised me, is that just that number is so large, that the need is so large, and I'm sure that's not even the total need. That's just what you're able to satisfy, which is, that's the part that caught me by surprise. So, wow. Okay. And just a small question, just because it was a thing that had come up recently and I just didn't know the truth of it, but when it comes to substance abuse treatments, I've heard that juveniles, there's nowhere for them to go locally. They have to be treated in Panama City if that's what they need. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. That refers to primarily court-ordered secure addictions treatment for youth. So if a judge orders a youth be committed to a program for addictions treatment,
got it.
That does not exist in this community. And yeah, the closest program is Panama City.
Okay, so for court-mandated treatment. Okay, I got you. So the reason I wanted to have you on today is to talk a little bit more about what we've been talking about all week with law enforcement, with the mayor, which is the new central receiving facility for Baker Act folks. And again, just in case people don't know, in Florida we have the Baker Act, which is when somebody is showing signs that they cannot be trusted with their own safety or the safety of others in a non-criminal way, that or maybe potentially criminal if they are taken care of psychologically. But law enforcement brings them somewhere to receive psychiatric treatment because they're not safe to be taken care of in a different way. Previously, we had a challenge because West Florida Hospital was saying, you know, that they wouldn't take the adults. Baptist takes the juveniles. Having enough bed space, having an intake facility where we can bring these folks to, all of these things were a problem. The good news is we're working on solving that problem with the opening of this new central receiving facility this week, right?
Yeah, correct. We're open. We opened on Monday, and we've been busy right out of the gate. We've been busy. So the community really was short on resources, did not have adequate resources. And so law enforcement was bringing folks in need of a Baker Act screening. And the screening is where a professional, a licensed professional, basically interviews the patient and determines if they need to be committed to up to 72-hour inpatient crisis stay, or if they can be released and, you know, referred for community services. So that screening is the key part of the Baker Act. And so, yeah, law enforcement was bringing individuals to the emergency departments at Baptist Hospital and West Florida, because those are the two receiving facilities in the area. The challenge with that is, as everyone knows, emergency departments can get pretty busy. You are mixing in behavioral health patients with Those were just, you know, other medical issues. And law enforcement many times was having to stay with the individual while they were waiting screening. And that could take, you know, up to hours that law enforcement was there with the individual in the ED. And so not a real efficient system. And then, yeah, when the determination was made that a psych bed was needed, we were limited to Baptist and West Florida's psychiatric bed capacity. So what we have starting this week is we have one centralized place at Lakeview Center where that screening can happen for all adults. And we're anticipating around 700 screenings a month. So again, an indication of the volume. And then in addition to that screening at the central receiving facility, we're adding 30 crisis beds at Lakeview Center. So those are 30 beds that don't exist in the community today. So it will alleviate a lot of the pressure that Baptist and West Florida have been trying to accommodate over the last couple of years. So it's a more efficient system. It's better for the individual that's in a behavioral health crisis. It also isn't going to overburden the system. This should really, in working together, Lakeview and the hospitals, along with law enforcement, we should be able to manage the population of need much better. And by the way, the drop off time for law enforcement is 5 to 10 minutes, at the central receiving facility, and they're back on the street. Law enforcement, instead of having to wait until the patient can be seen, they basically just drop them off to us. And once we have the person secured for examination, their law enforcement's back on their way. So they like this model too.
No, that's great. And I can see the value, not just for law enforcement efficiency, which we've been talking about this week, but also enhancing bed capacity is a tremendous improvement to our ability to treat these folks. And if you're taking, demand off of the emergency rooms, you're freeing them up to be able to operate more efficiently, which means patients don't have to wait so long. And EMS that's coming to the hospitals and, in oftentimes having to stay there with patients too long and hold the wall because they're not resources available, are more likely to be processed quicker, which will alleviate some of that stress as well. This is, across the board, a good thing. We're talking to Sean Salamita, the Lakeview Center president, talking about the new central receiving facility that opened up just this Monday for handling Baker Act candidates. Sean, you said you guys have a 30-bed capability. Do you know what the total adult bed capability, like West Florida, what is in the county right now?
I think we're approaching right at 100 beds total.
Including your 30?
Actually, I think including our 30. Baptist has two floors in their new psych hospital that are dedicated to adults. And then West Florida has the Pavilion, which is another, I think 30 or 40 or 50 beds. I can't remember off the top of my head, but.
Well, that's still, 50%, that's about a 50% increase in capacity. That's great. I mean, that's all I was curious. I just didn't know what the rough number was. Now, juveniles are still going to be handled at Baptist, though, right?
Correct. They'll still be going to Baptist. So. Law enforcement will not be bringing juveniles to our central receiving facility. They'll go straight to Baptist, and that's because they have the only children's psychiatric beds in the community.
Right.
Our beds are all adult.
When you had thrown some numbers out, you said about 700 Baker Act evaluations in the month, but again, you have 30 beds. What percentage? Like, I have no idea. If I bring you 100 people who we think need to be Baker Acted, what percentage of them actually satisfy the criteria to be Baker Acted, and how many of them are released?
It's roughly about half and half.
Okay.
So here's another benefit. Here's another benefit to this model of a central receiving facility being located at a community mental health center, because there's about, I think we're the 12th one in the state. It's kind of an emerging model.
Okay.
But for those individuals that don't meet criteria for Baker Act admission and are released, we have services right there that we can hopefully plug those individuals into, so that hopefully we create more stability and we eventually reduce the number of Baker Acts over time.
Okay. Because
again, right now they're going to the emergency departments, and they make referrals to us and to other community services, but there's no guarantee that the individuals follow up, and they could be under another Baker Act in a week for a day. With this model, we have all the services we can offer to hopefully alleviate the crisis, keep them stable, and reduce those repeat fake racks.
Oh, see, this makes perfect sense. That's quite elegant. I mean, you're bringing people in who, if they are Baker Acted, you're obviously able to take care of them. If they do not wind up satisfying the criteria for Baker Act, they're still in the right place to be able to get services that they probably need, even if they don't quite meet the threshold for Baker Acting. And you guys can provide that for them, which will, as you say, provide them service they need now, but also do a good job of reducing the demand on the front end, because you're preventing them from, you know, sort of recidivist behavior that would put them in need of being Baker Acted again or brought in for evaluation again. That really makes a lot of sense to me.
Exactly.
How long does it take? I just really don't know much about this process, and I never have, and I'm kind of curious. How long does it take to evaluate somebody usually?
The evaluation is usually, you know, roughly an hour, 30 minutes to an hour, depending on the situation. Our goal is to have people. So our central receiving facility is one building on campus, and our goal is to keep people flowing so that they're there for about 2 hours.
Okay.
So that includes being screened, being dropped off, screened. If they need a bed, we make a referral to one of the other hospitals, Baptist or West Florida, or we admit them to our bed. Patient preference is a key factor in that. Where are they comfortable receiving their care? Where do they want to go? And also acuity and bed capacity, of course, are factors too. But we want to keep people moving at about an average of 2 hours.
Okay. And if people wind up, you know, not satisfying the Baker Act criteria, not needing to stay there for any kind of a service, how do they get transported, or do they get transported, like, you know, back home? I assume that you're doing an interfacility transport if it's going to a hospital, but if they're going back home, is there a provision for that, or are they kind of on their own?
We don't transport individuals back to their home. We do have transport capacity to the other facilities.
Okay.
So usually, you know, a lot of times it's family members that will provide that transport, friends, things like that. So we have seen a lot of that this week. I mean, we're only on day five of our central receiving facility being open, and we've seen quite a few walk-ins, what we call walk-ins, where a family member has brought someone in or a friend. And so they haven't all been law enforcement, screenings. This week so far.
And that was the last thing I just wanted to make sure people know, is if they are concerned about a family member, you don't have to call the cops. You can, you know, get in the car and take them over to your facility, and you guys will do a screening in order to find out not only whether they satisfy Baker Act, but whether they, you know, whether you have services that can help them, right? That's something that you're always available to do.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, if you have a family member that's, you know, in a state of crisis that you're not comfortable, you can safely transport them. You can call law enforcement. We had one of those this week where it was a courtesy transport by law enforcement, just bringing the individual to us, although they weren't the ones that placed the individual under Baker Act. But we definitely have family members bringing folks for screening. And we can do that as well. It doesn't have to be from law enforcement.
And if they do, where are they bringing them? What's the address or what's the location? How do you want them to get to you?
The location is 1221 West Lakeview Avenue. That's our main campus, and there's a lot of buildings, but it's hard to miss the CRF, the Central Receiving Facility. It's right at that location.
Very good. Sean Salamita, he is the president of Lakeview Center. Sean, thank you so much for the work that you do. I know it's really important for the community. Thank you so much for sharing some information with us today and, you know, helping us understand the significance of what has been happening this week. And thanks for the time. I really appreciate it. Nice to make your acquaintance, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you, Andrew.
Of course. Man, and you talk about, you know, doing important work that, you know, we'd really rather not have to think about a lot of times, but man, talk about doing important work. So I appreciate that. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're considering the prospect of selling a home or buying a home or both, which is, you know, common, people do both at the same time, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, they will take great care of you. And Christina's, as she would say this, okay, she's kind of a nerd about real estate in a good way. You know, she's wants to know everything, wants to know how to give people the best advice, information, loves talking about it with people, loves meeting people. people's very, very friendly. And, you know, it goes back to her days as a news person, right? That she just wants to get all of the facts right and then give people good information so they can make a good decision. And that's true, whether buying or selling the home. And, you know, they've got this whole process for selling a home. Really, it's like a formula for how to stage it, photograph it, where to list it, when to list it, when to do the open house. Kind of every part of this is producing the results they get. 175 homes sold last year. It's pretty impressive, frankly. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Pinair Credit Union's new high-yield checking account helps members elevate their financial journey when they need it most. Earn 4% APY simply by enrolling in e-statements and making a deposit of $250 or more once a month. It's that simple. Get started online by visiting pinair.org or visit one of our 12 convenient locations in Northwest Florida and South Alabama. It's okay to think big. Pinair's high-yield checking account pays up to 4% annual percentage yield with e-statement and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more. For details, go to pinair.org/checking.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be talking about Mother's Day, Beer Fest, Angelina's cooking class, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants. The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Uh-oh!
You've just discovered you have...
rats! Ew! What do I do? How do you get rid of them? I haven't a clue.
To get rid of the rats is no problem at all. The solution's inside Davis Hardware and U-Haul.
Hi, how can we help you?
I have a rat problem.
Oh, rats.
Literally, what do I do?
Davis Hardware and U-Haul employees are real hardware people and know what happens when infestations get out of hand. They have the experience to help you get rid of your, uninvited guests.
Thank you.
Davis Hardware and U-Haul on L Street just off Fairfield in the center of Pensacola.
Gulf Coast businesses are set to lose over $5 million this month. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. It's the beginning of tax season, and scammers know the threat of an IRS audit gets people to pay. Know that the IRS will never initiate contact through email, and any email threatening an audit is just a scam. Businesses along the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Come on, Benny, man. The kid is a L7 weenie.
Purple hat, cheetah print, dancing on the people, rolled up at the after joint, dancing on the people, people dancing on the people. I got people on the people, people dancing on the people, with the people on the people, smoking CO2, see me, see you dancing on the people, climb up on the booth, hanging from the people on the people, my head hits the roof, dancing on the
ceiling. Good morning, 5:56 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Mornings. I love this song. Rolled up at the after joint, dancing on the people. Sophie Tucker. Purple hat, party people on the people. That's the way I think of it anyway. You know where I heard that song for the first time? At Sky Zone. We were in Sky Zone. One of the boys had a birthday, and so we all bought, you know, like month passes, which you get a weekend, and you're like, a whole month? Because that is a good workout. And then your arm gives out playing, you know, dodgeball, and, you know, not that any of us overthrow balls at these pesky little annoying teenage boys who play dodgeball. And anyway, I'll just move on. Anyway, you find out, you're like, I really am in my 50s. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, former President Trump's trial in New York set to resume tomorrow. Officials in Oklahoma say that at least four people have died after a tornado outbreak over the weekend. Two people were killed when a large twister hit the small town of Holdenville. That's southeast of Oklahoma City.
Oh, my God. Have you seen the pictures at all?
Oh, terrible.
It reminds me of Joplin is what it reminds me
Absolutely. of. Absolutely. Yeah, just terrible destruction there. And fertility rates, Andrew, are at a record low in the U.S., the number of births is the lowest in decades. This is according to provisional data from the Centers for Disease Control. They say just under 3.6 million babies were born in the U.S. last year. That is a 2% decline. The birth rate was at around 1.6 births per 1,000 women. lower than the 2.1% needed to sustain the population.
Yeah, this is really, really frightening news. When you think about, you know, people aren't getting married, they're not forming families, they're not having children. When they do have children, they're having them late, so they're not having as many. This is a problem that we have seen in other countries. Remember China and India years ago put in their, I mean, China officially, India unofficially put in their kind of their one-child policy, and it was so bad that they were aborting females because they wanted to have males because that was prestigious in the society, and now they've gone and reversed that and said, oh, God, this is bad. We didn't realize that we were going to destroy ourselves, which is exactly what they were doing. Japan's has the same problem. America has, I mean, we have a problem. One of our population-sustaining measures is actually immigration. Like, if you factor out immigrants, we are really doing a terrible job of perpetuating the race, and that's dangerous, scary. I mean, it really is when you think about demographics. I'm sorry, David, I totally interrupted you with my soapbox. Anything else, sir?
Nope, that was all I had for now.
All right, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, no, be fruitful and multiply. That command has never been revoked.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.